and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And I am Jake.
And today we're doing another episode of our Foundation series. The goal of our Foundation series is to create a number of evergreen episodes that use common concepts and terms that we refer to often in the series for you to be able to take a listen to it anytime you need a refresher. And today we're going to talk about Commander Quadrant Theory. In a previous episode, we talked about deck optimization in terms of variety versus consistency and efficiency versus spiciness. Our goal with this episode is to build upon that and help you come up with additional tools that you can use to better understand your deck and be able to better communicate with other players about what your deck is capable of in terms of its power level. Again, we'll use the example of CDH, the label for which came about as players were looking to try to find other players who would be able to bring very efficient, very consistent decks with them and play the game to the highest power level that the format allowed. As I mentioned, this episode will be building upon the Foundations episode on deck optimization. So if you need a refresher there for what we mean when we're talking about consistency or spiciness, go ahead and take a listen to that episode. Link will be in the show notes.
All right, our first quadrant is the balance quadrant, or the 75% quadrant. What is considered normal commander gameplay lives in this area. Some decks may be spicy, some more optimized, but they can all hang in the same pod. Generally, you have a reasonable consistency of assembling an adequate mana base as well as engines. So you ramp and proceed with card advantage and board state all equally. Multiple tutors are normally frowned upon for something of this nature. So you've got the ones that are a bit niche to what you're doing, but you're not running every single one of them.
And with a lot of decks falling into this balanced category, you're going to see that there are going to be decks, as you said, that have a little bit more efficiency or a little bit more consistency, but they're often making trade-offs into such a way that they're all at a similar power level. Now, when you have decks that have a significant increase in spiciness and a significant increase in variety, that's when you're going to look at decks that we're going to use the label casual for. In this quadrant, this is typically where you'll see precons as a very good example. Precons tend to have a lot of cards which are definitely not efficient, because one of the things that the designers are looking for with it is to include a large number of new cards that are often pushing in new directions for the format. They rarely run tutors. Land ramp tends to be fairly minimal. Artifact-based ramp also tends to be more expensive. There's usually a low redundancy of engine-type cards, particularly as these precons are looking to, as I said, look in new directions that you usually don't see often in the Commander format. Precons have certainly moved towards more efficiency and consistency over time, but especially when you look back to the early ones like Commander 2011, the original printing, you had three different commanders trying to do three different things in the deck, and it's essentially three decks that were shuffled together. Also in this quadrant, you'll see theme decks as an extreme example. For example, ladies looking left, guys sitting in chairs, screaming bald men as another one of those strange theme decks that come about from time to time. And you will also see decks where these are sometimes starting point decks that need additional tuning to reach that balanced level if that's what the pilot is going for.
The next quadrant we're going to look at is linear. So we're going to stay in the realm of the spicy, but we're going to be more consistent here. So sacrificing variety for consistency, but maintaining spiciness. These decks are not necessarily very efficient, but they do have an extremely consistent game plan. These are going to be decks that often feature a lot of redundancy in whatever it is they do. Decks like landfall decks, because there are a lot of lands in your average commander deck, so you're going to be getting a lot of these landfall triggers. Another example would be Voltron decks. These are not going to be the most efficient form of winning the game, because it does involve multiple combat steps against multiple players, but you can make them very consistent in what they do. Swarm-style decks with cards like Relentless Rats, Persistent Petitioners, etc., those are going to feature a critical mass of redundant creatures, which really helps with consistency, although those are very spicy decks. these kind of decks are going to be willing to run tutors to increase their consistency, although often what they're tutoring up will not be, again, the most efficient answers or threats. If a player has a particularly interesting idea and they're doing their best to tune up their deck to make it as competitive as possible, these kinds of decks often wind up in this linear quadrant.
The next quadrant we're going to talk about is the chaotic quadrant, which focuses more on efficiency and variety of gameplay. These decks may feature a core game plan, which is very difficult to assemble. We're talking about three-card combos, for example, using things like Queen Marchesa and other cards that allow the use of +1/+1 counters and being able to trigger them repeatedly and gain value. Decks with emergent combos fall into this quadrant as well. I'm going to put a bunch of artifacts, Magus cards into this deck and see what combos I can get out of it. That can exist on many areas of the spectrum. Bray is a good one that comes to mind. It can be incredibly tuned, but it can also be incredibly random and chaotic. This style often intentionally limits the use of tutors to create a variety of gameplay available to them. Decks in this quadrant often feature efficient cards at low CMC but lack a consistent game plan. Decks may have baked-in nombos where different elements of the deck work in different directions. Decks may also lack an adequate mana base to support the game plan. The ever-common, when I get my mana, I can really go off. But the turns leading up to that may be few and far between. It would be wrong to say that these are all bad decks. You may intentionally want to steer towards a chaos deck, but you may also choose to tune down an optimized deck and weakening its mana base or removing tutors to make it more comparable to other decks and quadrants. This is ideal when you've got decks that you can sit down and play at a competitive table, but also play in a more casual table. Pure chaos decks are an extreme example.
And the final quadrant we're going to talk about is labeled optimized. These are going to be the decks that fall into the efficiency and consistency axes. These types of decks are going to be characterized by a large number of tutors, high redundancy, low converted mana cost as the average for the entire deck, lots of mana fixing. The competitive EDH meta falls into this group. This will be content creators that you're possibly familiar with, like Laboratory Maniacs, Into the North, Casually Competitive, Play to Win, Spike Feeders, CEDH Cast, lots of others. It's awesome that there's a lot of new content coming out like this. The win conditions in these decks are going to be fairly tight. There'll usually be a game plan A that is totally focused on trying to achieve as many times as possible in multiple games. These decks try to reduce the number of dead cards that they ever get and maximize how many efficient drawing gas cards that they're going to get. If you look at like an average CEDH deck, you can see things like the average converted mana cost of like 1.9 to 2. They often can either threaten a win or prevent opponents from winning as early as turn 2 or 3.
And these quadrants are the ones that we're going to be talking about and targeting as we go through and talk about our decks, decks that we're brewing, decks that we're building, decks that we're tuning up, or decks submitted by listeners. We may not always hit the mark when we're trying to build a deck and tune it towards a certain quadrant, but I think when we're able to say that this is what I want to go for with my deck, and this is the deck that I brought with me, I think it makes that rule zero talk a lot easier. And it also makes it much easier when we're trying to sit down and ask our friends for help to try to figure out why our deck isn't doing what we want it to do. When we sit down and say, okay, I don't know why my deck is just not going off, it may be because we're trying to push into the linear category, but we're really, the cards we're including are really encouraging variety instead, which goes against the goal of aiming for a linear style of deck. It may also be a deck in a play style that just doesn't appeal to you. So having that insight and having that language to look at should be very helpful. And we hope you found this episode helpful as well. Until next time, I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Jake.
You can reach the crew from Gemstone Mine on Twitter at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email at GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. On YouTube, we're Gemstone Mine Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell.